We gotta take him.
Dwayne, you're a psychopath.
Welcome to the Flatlands Field and Foul Podcast. All right, let's see how this works here. Running that video. Welcome back. I don't even know what episode this is. 30, let's see. I should look this up. Oh, where is it? 37. Dang. Here I am alone in my house. If you're looking on the video, you can see the old logo on the TV. That is the buck I shot in 2017, I think. Yes, 2017, archery. Thanksgiving Monday, it was, in the morning. No. What was it now? Yeah. Thanksgiving Monday in the morning, early in the morning. Dang, yeah, okay. Probably I want to say 40 minutes into hunting, into shootable light, and oh, now I remember. Okay, so there was the Saturday before, I had been out at this property. I'm not going to reveal where it is. Some of you will know what I'm talking about, but that's all I'm going to say. It's a secret, okay? Out in the killing stand. The Saturday before I was there, so 2 days prior, and I had been in a different part of the property. Actually, I had been in the killing stand, but then I had moved over because I had seen some bucks coming. They were still bachelored at the time. It was a group of three. And then this guy, the bigger one, hefty boy, not hefty. That's out in a different area of the province where cousin Zach shot hefty, but there's hefty XL still out there. So this guy in particular, we'll call him Girthy. No. We won't. We'll call him Archery 2017. Whatever. We'll call him whatever. So it was getting close to last light on the Saturday, and out walks these three bucks, smaller bucks, spikes and forks, and I don't know, maybe a 3x3. I can't remember now exactly. I think I have a video of them from that Monday morning, but anyways, out they come, walking down the field to where they like to go, and oh, now I remember, I was hiding behind the hay rack where this was parked. My uncle had parked the hay rack there. Oh, what's going on here? Okay, take off. He had parked the hay rack there, and you know how bucks are, especially young bucks early in the season. They're kind of dumb. Not dumb, but they're dumb and curious, I guess you could say. So I was sitting there watching these bucks come in, and I remember they walked super close to me. I kind of was hiding behind the wheel or behind a tree or whatever. And they walked in, and they were curious, and there's acorns where I was standing, were hiding. And I believe last light came, and then it was getting dark, kind of the end of shootable or very close to. And then I seen this out of the same opening in the trees, the same opening of the bush there, where these three bachelors had walked out of. Then came this buck I shot 2 days later. I could see him come out. I could see this neck. Good looking rack. Not the biggest or anything, but just this thick neck. I was like, oh, could see him walk out. He was coming to hang out with the boys, the young boys. Out he came, and it just got so dark. Sorry. It just got so dark, and he just walked and walked and walked, and kind of slowly, he knew what was going on, or he was more careful than the other ones, you know, coming out at dark, not earlier in light, whatever, but man, I'm just hopped up on caffeine right now. Yikes. So that ended that Saturday. And, you know, the next day was a gathering, whatever, so I didn't hunt that day. That Sunday. And then Monday morning, back at it, first thing in the morning. Out in the killing stand early. And I knew that... See, I got that stand positioned where I know that... It's a corridor. It's a deer like to come through there. They cross over kind of from the neighbors and they come down. It's basically a hallway. It's a highway essentially. It's kind of a few different paths converge right there. And so I sat and waited and first came by it was first a doe that came by. I remember she blew me out, which was kind of weird. I was being pretty stale, if I recall, I think. And I don't know if she had a fawn. That's a bit foggy, but anyways. She came by, and she didn't like it. She saw me. I think she would have been probably 40-ish yards, maybe 50 yards away, kind of bit of trees in the way and stuff. And she didn't like it, so she buggered off. And I thought, oh, great. Now this is gonna... This sucks. And then... Oh, man. Now I gotta... recollect my thoughts here. Oh, yeah, okay. So... shortly thereafter, a few minutes, couple minutes... Excuse me. And that's not the corona. That's not the Rona. Not Miss Rona. Not the disease. It's caffeine. Okay. So a couple minutes after that doe buggered off, then those same three bachelor bucks, well, I guess it was a group of four, right, with the bigger one. The one I eventually shot. But anyways. So all of a sudden these three came through. And they were none the wiser of my presence. And they came down one of the trails that goes right close to the stand. And they came out onto the hayfield in front of me. Like it ain't no thing. And I thought, well, if these three boys are here, where's the bigger one, huh? Is he hanging around? So I sat and waited. They stepped out and I just sat. They kind of went onto the field and did their thing. And then I heard movement. I remember I was sitting there facing north. I look over my left shoulder. And there's walking the bigger one. The girthy one. And... he's coming on a string, honestly. I'm like getting ready, get the bow off the hanger. I'm like, oh man, this is gonna happen. And he's coming down the trail, which is, I wasn't exactly sure, but after that, then I checked it out and it was about 25 yards. And he's walking. Step, 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 step. My heart is going, and this is, I have had a chance at bigger bucks in the past, much bigger, honestly. Gearhart, if you know who I'm talking about, the wet powder guy. But I knew that that was impossible to happen now because I had a bow. The worst thing that could happen is the bowstring breaks, or B, that's A, or B, I just straight up miss. But I'm pretty well practiced, and especially at 20 to 30 yards, like, that's not bad. And it wasn't windy. I was in a ladder stand. Everything was stable. Or I guess C could be I fall out of the tree while I'm drawn and whatever. That would suck, but it didn't happen. Oh, okay. Excuse me. So he... Man, I got the burps now. He's coming down this trail, and I have to turn complete 180 degrees from where I face, because this trail cuts an angle behind me. Kind of from... It goes from southwest to northeast. And he's walking and walking, and these three bachelors are still on the field. And so I slowly turn around with the bow in hand. I draw. And this guy doesn't want to stop. He's at a slow walk, but like, I want him to stop. And then there was a small shooting lane, because remember, this is early October, so there's still some leaves and stuff out. Some of it's fallen. But he finally gets this little opening. Meh. Meh. Wait a minute. Oh, I think I just yelled at him. I was like, hey! Hey! He like stops, looks. Thwack! And the old... Oh, man. It was like that... No, it wasn't that. It was... I don't know. Whatever that sound is... I don't know how to make it with my hands right now. Whatever that sound is where it's like, oh yeah, you know you hit him. And the way he jumped, he like, whoa! His back arced. And he ran just a few yards. And then he stopped and he just walked away. And he walked and walked until I couldn't see him through the trees. But you could just tell. I've been around enough. At the time, I'd been around enough deer and heard enough stories and seen enough videos. And I think I'd only shot one deer prior. I'd shot some bears as well, but anyways, I knew I'd hit this guy. So I sat in the stand for a while, number of minutes, let these bachelor bucks do their thing, you know, pull out the phone, take some video. Eventually they come right close by me again and they walk back into the bush. They knew that their fourth partner was coming, and I guess they kind of wondered where he went. So eventually they stepped off, they walked back through the trees. They disappeared. I thought, great. Okay. Well, there's a, you know, one, I think there was a 3x3, the biggest one of that, the group of three. And I thought, well, there's a nice deer for my brother to shoot yet. So I won't bump them. I won't spook them. I'll try to keep them handy for him. And I let them step off. So, you know, grab the bow, climb down the tree. And it's time to find some blood. Let's go blood trailing. Pace it out to where he was when I shot him. 25 yards. Perfect. I was extremely confident. I knew that I smoked this guy. And it was just blood. I've done a few blood trails, and this was just easy. He was just leaking. I had to follow him for a ways, unfortunately. He walked quite a ways. I had to, man. He walked into some of the thickest stuff. And I made the mistake of, I was following, all of a sudden I saw him. He was walking still. I saw him, and then I made the mistake of following him by sight. not by blood. And he buggered off. I thought, well, great. He just kept going into the thicker and thicker stuff. I was super frustrated with myself then. I was like, come on, man. So then, you know, I tried to follow him by sight, and I lost the blood trail. Well, here's a lesson. Maybe don't do that. Follow the blood trail, and you'll end up where you saw him. And you won't be misled by what your eyes are telling you and what you where you think he's going. Just follow the blood, man. So I had to double back, go back to where I'd been standing when I saw him, and then start over from there. And sure enough, I kept walking, winding around, and finally, a while later, there he was laying. And, you know, had that moment, that long moment of, how do you explain it? When you come up on a deer you've killed. It's a difficult feeling. It's not for everybody to experience, that's for sure. But it's like a, almost, man, I don't know. You're not sad, but you're, it's like a thankfulness and a celebration and a, it's just a whirlwind of emotions. Like, you go from every corner of where your mind can be. You come up to him and you're relieved. And then you're sad. And then you're ecstatic. And then you're like, I don't know, just like super thankful. And then you're, it's a hard feeling to encapsulate. Like, when you, and that was the nicest deer I'd ever shot. And where I hunt, where I got this guy, there's an emotional tie to the land there for me. And oh my goodness, it's so hard to explain. Even now, I'm kind of reliving it. And this was 3 years ago, over 3 years ago. And I'm at a loss for words still. Like, oh man. Just a sea of emotions. And at the end, I remember going through all of them and just finishing up with just utmost amount of thankfulness. And you end up just wanting to take care of that animal you just killed. You end up wanting to just take care of that thing as best you can, because you're out there in God's grocery store, and it just gave your life for you. So, I mean, you owe it to it. So you have to do the best that you can to take care of this thing that just essentially died for you, that you were lucky enough or blessed enough to be able to take. And I feel like there's a different connection when you archery hunt, and it's like, it was 25 yards away, and you poke it with your arrow. Oh yeah, I had nicked the heart, and the post-mortem showed I nicked the heart, and the broadhead was lodged in the far front shoulder. It was broadside when I shot it. You know, at an angle down from the tree stand. So with every step, that broadhead, it was a Slick Trick Grist Trick 2. Same type of broadhead I shot my deer with this year. And another one a couple years ago or whenever. I forget right now. Anyways, so with every step, his right shoulder, that broadhead was lodged in there, and it just cut and cut and cut. I lost a lot of that other side shoulder was pretty mangled, so there was some waste out of there. But yeah, it's the emotions that came through were just, it was just wild. But yeah, so you're. I feel like you owe the animal so much. And so then it was a difficult drag. That was pretty thick stuff, so I drugged that sucker to a good spot, field dressed it, you know, did the obligatory trophy pictures, and it was a hefty boy to load up. Field dressed, I think it was 210 pounds. We weighed it on the scale. So that was a good deer. Got it on the wall, right there. And on the TV, right there. And the background is a picture of a creek where I've hunted ducks and hung out and took the dog and found God there. At Larry Fleet, where I find God. Check that out. So that's a version of the story of the 2017 buck right there, archery buck. And I don't know that. Those emotions that you go through are just hard to explain. And I don't think that's a bad thing. But it's just something that you'll never truly know until you actually experience it. You can't take my word for it and understand it. Because, I mean, every person will go through it differently. You'll react to it differently, but you'll never truly know until you experience it for yourself. And I think that you learn a lot about yourself in that moment and in that time. Like, if you didn't know already, then you realize how little the actual, killing, how little of a factor the actual killing or the actual shot is, how little of a factor that is. Like, it's so much more than that, the experience. Like, now let me ask you this. How often on the couch or in town or, I don't know, being a delinquent somewhere, are you going to learn these things about wildlife, about nature, about God's country? You know, you're sitting there watching the sunrise, listening to the birds, looking at nature, seeing these animals in their natural habitat. I guarantee you, spending this time having these experiences, you're going to end up learning more and knowing more about these animals than, like Ranella says, I know more about wildlife. I forget exactly how he said it, but if you watch Stars in the Sky, his documentary film, he's talking to he's asked the question by a animal rights activist or something. He's like, I can guarantee you that I know more about these animals than you ever will. And it's true. When you go out and spend time and care and are a conservationist as well, and you just sit and learn, and not necessarily sit, but you spend the time out there in nature, in the wild, and you learn and you observe, you realize it's so much more than just killing. Like, hunting is not killing. And that's, I think that's amazing. I think that's great. There's the amount of things that you learn about yourself. I don't know. It's just awesome. And I recommend it. But at the end of the day, I guess the goal is to take something home. So you have to be, that's one thing you have to come to terms with. So just be wary of that. Otherwise, you're just hiking. And what's the purpose of hiking? Wouldn't you rather, I don't know, in my mind, I'd rather, like, again, back to, I think, Ranella. Hiking is cool, but wouldn't you rather be able to take something tangible back? You can do the same thing and go out there with a tool and come back with memories and food and maybe something to remember that by via maybe some antlers on the wall or something similar to that. I know I sure would. I prefer that. Oh, let's see something out of Aldo Leopold's A Sand County Almanac. Since it's December, let's go. I haven't finished this book, but let's go to December here. I'll be like Brian Callen's, and read an excerpt from a book. December, home range. The wild things that live on my farm are reluctant to tell me, in so many words, how much of my township is included within their daily or nightly beat. I'm curious about this, for it gives me the ratio between the size of their universe and the size of mine, and it conveniently begs the much more important question. Who is the more thoroughly acquainted with the world in which he lives? Like people, my animals frequently disclose their actions. No. Like people, my animals frequently disclose by their actions what they decline to divulge in words. It is difficult to predict when and how one of these disclosures will come to light. Interesting. Here's another part. Science knows little about home range, how big it is at various seasons, what food and cover it must include, when and how it is defended against trespass, and whether ownership is an individual, family, or group affair. These are the fundamentals of animal economics or ecology. Every farm is a textbook on animal ecology. Woodsmanship is the translation of the book. Just got to spend some time out there. You just got to spend some time out there. Okay. Let's go over a few waterfowl tips, I think, for next year. Some things to remember. A, you got to scout. Do lots of scouting. Find where the birds are. I didn't do enough of that this year. I'll be the first to admit. I slipped up. B, do more scouting. C, do more scouting. Find where they are. D, do more scouting. Anyways, concealment. You have to conceal. And you gotta, don't, if you see a few birds, don't get sold on that field. Even when you find hot fields, you're not always going to get all the birds or any of them, etc. But this year I found that staying away from their water source was better. And, you know, when times are tough and flocks are small, take your time and shoot them all. Don't bank on 50 birds on the field. There's a good chance that they won't work. I hunted a few times this year where I didn't fire a shot, and it really bugged me. So, it's not that, again, not that the entire purpose is just to kill, but it's... You need to do better homework to put yourself in positions to have more bird action. So that comes into scouting. So I think that scouting is the number one. Scouting is the number one part of waterfowl hunting, especially with geese. Oh, and I learned. Who did I talk to? Oh, okay. I got stopped by a conservation officer one evening this fall. I was just out for a cruise in Sandylands. And this was an area where they had some spotlighting problems. So they were kind of, I guess, a sting operation. So he stopped me and we talked for a little while. And me and a friend or a couple friends, we had tried hunting snow geese based on where they were the night before, like you hunt Canada's usually. And this tip from the CO was that don't hunt them where they are the night before in the morning. Hunt them where they are in the morning the day before. And so we'd only come across these snows in the evening. So we didn't know, but, and also get out there earlier than later. Because for some, like, this was end of September, early October, I don't remember now, but you have to, in this particular time, we were out there well before shooting light, but that wasn't early enough. So, go to bed earlier, get up earlier, and do it, and good luck, and yeah, I don't know. Finish your ribbons, kids.